It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me? You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com, part of the Paramount Podcast Network. I am Mike Casazza, welcoming in Chris Anderson to dig back into a... Man, Santa hasn't put his arm in the bag for a while and pulled out questions, Chris. So here we are, Q&A edition. It's been far too long, and yet, content is not unpredictable. We know what's going to be in this bag, and we pull out the questions, and I don't think there's gonna be a lot of surprises with the interest that people have based on current events, good news, bad news. So good a time as any to get back into something we used to do, and we probably can't expect how it's gonna go today.
Yeah, absolutely. When you messaged me and you're like, hey, we need to do a Q&A, we haven't done it in a bit, you posted the thread a few hours later. I went to go check it out, and I was like, I bet they're gonna be asking about basketball coach and maybe a couple other things, but mostly focus on that. And sure enough, there it was, over and over and over again. And I mean, can't blame them. Like, that's going to be the hot topic right now. Things are going well for football. Some questions in there about that. But yeah, I guess we're now is as good a time as any to try to broach that subject.
I like this timing today for a couple of reasons. One, there are some things that we just can't answer. And I'm always going to be kind of like gun shy about this as opposed to trigger happy, because I don't know how it's going to go, and I hate to be wrong, especially proactively wrong. Oh well, I do a good job of both. It's also good to talk through some of these things too, because part of me is like, well, they still have a coach for basketball, and then the other part of me, like the other guy on my shoulder, is like, yeah, Mike, you know how this goes. I'm like, oh yeah, and I lean in, I listen to that guy a little bit more than I probably should. But then to put some of these thoughts out there and have the conversation, it's pretty productive. I think that's good. Number one. Number two, content ideas are important, and there's a couple really good questions here that not only make good discussions here, but you could pull out and turn into, I don't know, 3-minute videos that we used to do, we'll once again get back into, and then also just story ideas here that I think are worth a deeper look than just how we're going to give it a quick answer in the time allotted here, too. So I'm glad we're doing this, because I don't have all the answers, even though the people want us to have the answers, but this will help me get to some intersections and across some bridges to figure out how to do this. And it kind of begins with what's going to happen with basketball, but also what's going to happen with football. And even that is not just like the imminent stuff about how they finish the portal class or what they do with safeties, but like, hey, who's getting better? Can this roster development thing work? Who's the next wave of redshirt this or that have been on the sideline? Who's the next Hudson Clement, so to speak? I think there's some cool ideas that we can dig out that if we don't get to today, maybe you get to when you do the written portion of this, and maybe we have some future ideas. So that's good. Should we get started?
We shall.
Let's do it.
I guess we'll start where we started. Several questions about the West Virginia University men's basketball head coach situation. Drew Flew 33 phrases it as, so in light of Saturday in Houston, when do we start hearing rumblings about the next basketball head coach heat up? First off, I think it's safe to say those rumblings weren't starting after Saturday. I think it's kind of been a given pretty much for a while. I don't want to say Eiler was never going to be given the chance fully to kind of secure this job. I think, yeah, obviously, like, if things had gone well, then it would have been in consideration. But given the hand he was dealt, it's hard to imagine a situation where things were going to go well. And pretty much everybody assumed this was a one-year thing. Going back to the joke about the graphic with the word interim taking up half of the graphic that WVU released. So, Mike, maybe I'll phrase this a little bit differently. I'll kind of pick from Drew Flew's question here and ask it this way. What's the timeline here for WVU? I mean, it seems pretty obvious there's going to be a new coach next year. Are they already started? Are they already touching base? What's the timeline?
I don't think you'll see any like sources say Rem Baker has a list, because I think he's going to be pretty quiet about that out of respect to Eilert for sure, the roster, the job, all that, but also the targets he's going to go after. Like, I think he's going to go after big guys. What we witnessed when he did this in, what was that, June? They aimed at some big people. They talked to some big people. And that was understanding it was going to be strange. So I think that just because they're going to do that again, and these are going to be coaches who have jobs, you're like, wait a minute, is that going to make sense for him to go to West Virginia? Yeah, it might. So you might not see that being disrupted. So I think it'll be after the season. So I'm looking at this here at the March calendar. Their final regular season game is, what, March 9, I think we have, right? Big 12 okay. Tournament's going to start earlier because there's more teams. So that's going to start on, I want to say, 12th. Selection Sunday is the 17th. Let's assume that West Virginia is not an NCAA tournament team. Let's assume that they don't go 0-1 in the Big 12 tournament. Let's assume they go 1-1. I would think that soon after, you'll have a press release. Maybe not the same day as the loss. Maybe let the coach and the team get home and do whatever. But like within 48 hours, hey, thanks a lot, Josh. You had an impossible job this year, and you did way better than an average person could have done. Just the typical speak there. But I think you're going to see pretty quickly after the end of the West Virginia portion of the season that there is an open for business sign in the Coliseum, which then means that everybody who isn't coaching or is coaching can look at that and go, huh. And that means agents, that means intermediaries. They will circle back and resume, let's say, contact. There's just too many back channels to have, too many. I don't want to say below board because that sounds negative, but it's just the way things go. But like below board ways to communicate. And then wrote about this, and I heard this from people over the summer. It's not a bad thing that Baker went out and spent 2 weeks talking to agents and coaches last year, because the answer was not no, it was not now. And then one way or the other, like those coaches, those people who talked to Baker or whose Baker talked to those coaches' agents, that's in their ear and they think about it. And they start to think about it when the time comes. And there's going to be like a low point or a point for a lot of these targets where they say, no, I can't come back here. Or, you know, now's the time to move on. Or it's not going to get better than this, or it's going to get worse here. And then you just naturally start thinking about moving on. It doesn't automatically become you think about the WVU job, but that's going to be what they think about if they were contacted by Baker last year. So there's going to be a bit of a head start there. They had a search firm last year, so they're going to have candidates already that they can just update as opposed to starting new files. You'll put some new files in that list that the search firm gives you. But a lot of the work's done. Which all the way is me saying this. They got a big head start on this too. So the sooner they get started, the sooner they get finished. The other part about this though is coaches may have games. Like guys they want to hire may have games. It's like basketball is not like college football where a coach will leave a team before a bowl game. Coaches are going to coach their team through the postseason. So if a team is out like West Virginia and doesn't have a postseason event, CBI, NIT, NCAA, they're available. But if guys are in the NIT, the CBI, if they make an NCAA tournament run, we got to wait. So there could be a gap between when they, like I said, they flip on that open for business sign and they hire a coach. I don't know how long that'll be, but there's going to be some gap there. But you would think maybe before the end of March, it had this thing sewn up, and that would be ideal for everybody involved.
I think for you fans that are listening, we need to find this balance here. You either get your coach earlier because his team stinks this year and is not an NCAA tournament team and contender, or you have to wait a little bit longer because the coach is doing a good job and they're in the postseason and contending. So I think you might want it a little bit later because their team is good. Mike,
what's interesting with this though, Chris, they'll start the search and they'll let Eilert go soon after the game that ends the season. Is that the best idea? Like, would you rather wait a week?
What, to let him go?
Yeah. Or at least publicize it, because now you're, because imagine this does turn into like a 3 week search, which would not be unreasonable. Because let's say you only get like a week of your coach that you want not coaching anymore and being available. A week is about a standard amount of time, I would think, maybe a little bit long, but like to talk to a coach, to offer the job, to have him visit the campus, whatever, the contracts back and forth, like that's a couple of days. But that pregnant period in between when you are open for business and when you hire a coach, if it's long, your fans are going to go nuts. And we saw what happened last year over the summer. That was 2 weeks. I just wonder like if they have to be so expedient about that. I think they will. I think it's the right thing, because then you can get either a chance to get his life together. Even though I think he probably will, they'll try hard to keep him here. But they waited this a couple of days and they shortened that gap. I don't know. I'd wonder about that. I could see benefits to both of them. And one is more like in the other. But I can see fans getting kind of unruly about this too. Like, oh, you've had a year to get ready for this.
Well, I was going to say, I had to give it a second because I also wanted to see if when the window was would affect my thought process on this. The window being the transfer portal window. Obviously, when a coach is fired, leaves, whatever, retires, all those semantics, it opens a 30-day window for players to leave the team. We witnessed that in the summer with Huggins being out and West Virginia players entering the portal. The portal for men's basketball, if I'm looking at this correctly, Monday, March 18th. So that's basically exactly when you're talking about here this could happen, because the last game's March 9th, then you get into the Big 12 conference play, and then that's probably when a decision is going to be made around that. So the transfer portal window should not affect that decision much, but I'm with you. I don't know how long you want this to go. Fans, you kind of want to get in front of it and tell them, hey, I know you're going to say you've had a year to do this, but you still need to wait and let the good coaches finish their season because they're probably in the tournament. But Mike, I'm seeing through your word games, your journalism word games here, where you said you don't think there's going to be any reports of sources say Ren Baker has a list. But does Ren Baker have a list?
Oh, he does. Yeah, no doubt. Okay. Again, he did this last year.
Yeah.
And there's a quality of coaches that you would keep on your list that, again, just didn't say absolutely no, not West Virginia, but it said, this is too weird. I can't do this right now. And you just say, okay, but like just
that happened, right? We heard that happened. Like there were good coaches that were like, hey, this is a job I might be interested in, but this is strange and bad timing.
Yeah. Went over a couple of them last year. So if you're paying attention, you know, guys from, let's say out West who have Pennsylvania connections, or guys who are, I don't know, maybe you've seen already this year. Like these are guys they talked to and that was just like, can't do it now. There are players in this game right now that are looking out. Cause like a lot of these guys could definitely make this move and it wouldn't be unusual, because there's just things that are strange with college basketball right now, with the way conferences are realigning, the way that like the mid majors are good, but they're still not major college coaches, major college programs. So there's a hunger to get up into this level. And West Virginia is going to have one of those really good jobs that's open, that has been open forever too. So, and I say that because like, it's not only that Bob Huggins was here, but like they pretty much went from Beeline to Huggins, like in the time it takes to order a meal and pay the check. It was pretty quick because they knew they could get him. So they didn't even have a coaching search back then. So this job hasn't been open since the early 2000s. Totally different job now. And people are like looking at this one to make it work. So people did not say no. They just said like, don't take it personally, but this is a really screwed up situation right now. And I can't get into it because of all the things I have going here. So I would, there's a list for sure.
Okay. You lead me right into the next question. This one from WV Nomad 7. You, Mike, are the potential hire for the basketball vacancy at WVU. What makes you take the job and what keeps you from taking it?
I don't know what would keep me from taking it unless you come in, you're like, oh my gosh. Kobe Johnson was scalping tickets. We're going to have huge NCAA problems here, right? Or, oh my gosh, Seth Wilson was getting like a Western Union cash. Like just something outrageous like that that's going to get you in NCAA trouble. Like a Dokic. He's going to come in and be like, nope, I'm out of here. That would be the
Wait, the headline, Mike is the new Dan Dokic. This is great. This is fantastic content, Mike. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for comparing yourself to Dan.
Yeah. That's great. So something like that where the coaches comes in and says, this is a mess, I don't want to do this. And I just don't think that's going to be the case. Like, part of the season here is making sure that the house is clean for whomever comes in next. Like, this is an Airbnb right now, and you have the cleaning crew come in and make sure it's in the best shape for whoever's next. So it's gonna be way more inviting. And why would you take it? Chances are you're gonna have close to 13 scholarships to devote. There's just not going to be a lot of players who can or will come back, and a coach is going to come in and be like, do you like you? Do you want to play for me? Oh, you don't? Okay, out. So you're going to have close to 13 scholarships, and you're going to have a lot of time, and you're going to make a lot of money. So you're going to have you can turn things around quickly because of the portal now in basketball. You're going to have understanding that this is going to take some time because you may be moving from Power 5 to Power 5 or from a successful mid-major to Power 5. So there's some natural period of adjustment there. It's new. I get that. And the Big 12 is hard. So give them like a 2-year understanding, let's say a year zero, if you must, whatever, but you're going to have some time because you're going to have, again, close to 13 scholarships. Yeah. You're going to have close to 13 scholarships. So like, you're going to have a lot of leverage, but also a lot of levity to do what you want to get it into your style. And like, if you're a coach that does things a little bit different, you zag. I don't think you have to do that for WVU basketball, but if you're a coach that has a crazy offense or a crazy recruiting style, or you want just layups and 3-pointers, something like that, and it's going to take you time to build a roster and a style. There's going to be an understanding in place here that you're going to have time and you're going to have resources to do it. So it's very attractive. Okay.
So this takes me back to a conversation I had in June. This was during the Huggins, departure and the first time they attempted this search. And mm-hmm. Remember, I was standing at a recruiting camp in Morgantown, had to walk away from the camp to go on one of those, Sirius XM radio spots where they were talking to me about this. And I said during that interview, and I want you to tell me if you agree with me or not on these. I think I had three different angles here. And I said, when you're looking at it as a coach, you're probably looking at three different things. One, do I have the facilities to attract top talent? I'm talking specifically about facilities, not resources, total facilities, separate that out. And I say West Virginia is top 25, top 15 with the facilities. I mean, we've heard stories of other programs coming to Morgantown to see how they set it up so that they can do the same thing at their place.
Sure.
Agree or disagree that top 25, Absolutely. Top. Okay. The second thing I said was they're also going to have the resources, in this instance being NIL money, to acquire top 25 talents. Are we on the same boat there or no?
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the sun. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves, demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
I don't think it's going to be the same as it was. I think it can get there, but that money that went toward the NIL this year, that was given with a, hey, let's get this going. This is not an annual gift from me, not an annual gift from us, not an annual thing we're going to do. Let's see if it works. And a lot of that stuff was due to a beholdenness to Bob Huggins and Jay Kuntz. I'm not sure either one's back next year. We'll see. So that's not an automatic to me. That's going to take some work to make sure the NIL is up. Can it be a top 25? Sure, it is right now. Can it be? Sure. Will it be? I can't check that right now.
Okay. And then the third prong here was salary. And I believe at the time, Bob Huggins was a top 10 salary for head coaches in college basketball. So I said, between the three main things you're looking at, if you are a candidate for a head basketball coaching job, you have a top 15 facilities, top 25-ish in NIL and resource money, and top 10 in salary. So it is not wild to me to think that a top 15 coach would want to come to West Virginia. And I mean, I remember like the show that I was on, they really pushed back on that. Made me think I was being a bit of a homer here. Am I crazy?
15 is such a big number. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, I mean that in two ways. It's elite because there's only 15 of them. Man, how many teams could you put into the top 15 conversation? I know it's just 15, but there's a lot. And I guess that's the way the college basketball is right now. So is it a top 15 job? I think a lot of people would say, yeah. A lot of people would say no. And there's a group in the middle that would be like, it might be. It might not be, but it might be. So I wouldn't say hard no, wouldn't say hard yes, but I think that you could definitely have that conversation. That's a cop-out, but it's just some years it is, some years it isn't. But it's, I mean, again, a major conference job, Big 12, as good as you get in practice facility, you're going to have money on staff and the head coach. Like, you have private jets for travel, like all that stuff is there. You have good relationship with donors that you're going to have to work to maintain. Like, Bob Huggins had support at the pickup of a phone to do this and to go here. I'm not sure that's transferable to anybody that follows automatically, but it could certainly be stimulated again if you get the right person in charge. So there's certainly potential there.
Yeah.
15 seems steep. 15 does seem steep. 20, I would have a harder time disagreeing with, but like, again, 15 is a big number, but you could put a lot of people in that 15 too.
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't think, like, what's another top 15-ish team? Like Maryland? Like, I don't think somebody's leaving Maryland to come to West Virginia necessarily, but for those who are out and looking for a job, guys who are looking to move up from mid-majors, I think West Virginia might be one of your most desirable destinations right now, given what they could offer you. Okay. Do we want to, at this point in time, give some names that we would be looking at for head coaching job next year? We want to save that for a little bit later.
I mean, you're the boss. You're the VIP Geppetto here. What do you think?
Okay, well, Yidio 10 asks, who are the top three options for your personal hot board? I don't know. Let's just a name or something that maybe we've heard, or maybe some guys that are moving up, or maybe we heard the first time around that might still be mentioned again the second time around here.
I think you have to call John Beilein again, just because it'd be weird if he didn't. I don't think it happens, but like that. I don't think that was going to be a 1-year deal. I just don't think it was. So why wouldn't you? If you're having conversations about multi-years, why wouldn't you do it? Trouble is, it's a totally different situation now than it was in June. So I don't know that gets done. Guys that you'd heard about before, and these are big names, but like, I'm not talking Roy Williams and Jay Wright. I don't think that happens. I think that was a situation where, like, in January, it makes less sense than it might have made in June. So then some other names, you know, Chris Holtman was one. Andy Enfeld was one. I would imagine they'd be in there again. You'd have to probably talk to people about Ben McCollum. Now, these are the familiar customers that we had last time. Since then, like they were going to talk to, trying to think of some other guys here. Bob Ritchie at Furman was a guy they wanted to talk to. Pat Kelsey was a guy at Charleston they wanted to talk to. And they may have had conversations or contact. I think that you could have those conversations again because those guys aren't going to go anywhere. And then just because the way these things go, people that you might have wanted to know more about, you have a little bit more knowledge of now. You look at like Matt Langell from Colgate. I think you'd probably have to be silly not to talk to like Mark Byington from JMU. I'm trying to think who else in my head here. Oh, then like the guy that like people have been watching because he's a program architect. He does not have like a footprint necessarily, but Nico Medved at Colorado State is a guy that's going to be popular. And I think that those are people that you would, you know, top of my head that, you know, maybe people haven't mentioned. Those would be obvious ones. And you have some names that are like out there that are coaches you've heard of before, that have done it at this level or projected to it at this level that you've heard of nevertheless, like Anthony Grant at Dayton. I don't know that Shaheen Holloway's leaving Seton Hall or has done it yet, but that's a guy that's going to be popular because of what he's done and kind of his personality. So top of my head and names I've jotted down because I've heard before, those would be ones that I think are going to get some attention for sure. But that is not an exhaustive list, though.
Man, that sounds like You've already written the hot board, Mike. You just want to go ahead and post it for everybody on the board?
I just want it. Just all the volleyball hot board stuff I got in the corners and conversations I never imagined.
Well, that's something I was going to mention related to the women's volleyball coach search. When Ren Baker did his meeting with the media the other day, he touched on that, and he said something that kind of will go with everything. It's not shocking, but he did say, I use a search firm for every coaching search. Every coaching search. Like, there were no exceptions, it sounded like. So looks like that will be coming back around again for this one.
Mm-hmm. But they're more like ancillary, like clerical stuff. They can help. They can get you files on people because they know the agents. They can get you meetings set up quicker. It's faster. They have connections and they have files on people. So like, hey, you know what? We've heard really good things about Drake, Darian DeVries. And let's say Baker doesn't know him, but be like, boy, you know, a lot of my peers or ADs or assistant coaches or coaches said Darian DeVries is a guy. I don't know him. Do you guys know him? And the search firm goes, actually, yeah. And they go to their file. Oh, DeVries, here it is. And you get him the Darian DeVries file. And now you're up to speed on him. So like that's a good accessory in a search like this.
Yeah, that was something else he mentioned, I think, in that same meeting with the media about basically he has his list and then he wants to get a list from the search firm and then compare them. And then, yeah, like you said, get all the clerical stuff, get all the things set up. So it is beneficial, but you know, he will definitely be using one again this time around for this. Mike, I don't want to like hammer home like negative basketball stuff, but there were a couple questions here about where I'm trying to find the one here where it was just essentially how many of the players from this roster, basketball roster, will be on the team next season? Here you go. D Sands 7. Well, he asked the likelihood. There was somebody else asked. Just essentially, look at this WVU men's basketball roster. Give me, don't name names. Just give me a number. Set you're Vegas. You're the sports book. Out of the 13 scholarship players on West Virginia's roster, what's the over under that you're setting here?
3.5.
3.5.
I mean, a lot of them can't come back.
I mean, that was depressing as hell, but yeah.
So seriously, people who can come back here. Seth Wilson can come back.
Okay.
Blazinski has another year. Nave's a freshman. Carissa has another year. Kobe Johnson has another year. Josiah Harris, Noah Farrakhan have another year, and that's it. Oh, no,
so
and,
it's basically, Battle and Edwards are out. So there's two, they're gone. So the max you can have is 10, right? I'm missing somebody? No. I mean, Rigob's all gone. But
I have 8 who can come back.
Okay.
If I have my fingers correct here.
Bembry, Nave, Harris, Johnson, Sumnick, Wilson. And Akook does not have a year?
Her can come back.
No. A cook.
I don't know. I think he's done. This is his fifth year of competition.
Okay. Battle's out. Edwards is out. So Farrakhan, Frisa, Slezinski.
Has to get a 6-year. He checks all the boxes and he said in the preseason that he intended to be back. Granted, that's okay, before this season.
There's 8, potentially 9 with Slezinski.
Okay.
Scholarship players. And you're setting the line at 3.5. Okay. All right. Actually, it's not. I laughed because it's like, man, that's depressing. But it's a good line. I think that's a very good line.
Might be too high.
Especially with the coaching change. It might be too high.
but some guys can't go. Like Slezinski probably can't transfer again.
Carissa can't transfer again.
Well, unless he graduated, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Bembry probably couldn't transfer unless he graduated. Farrakhan couldn't transfer unless he graduated, which I guess he could. They both could. Bembry, I'd be more surprised by it. It's his second year in college. So some of them can't. But then he's gonna like if a coach comes in and says, listen, you're not my type of point guard, you know, I don't wanna stretch four, whatever. You run them off and you just give them a waiver. Like you sign the paperwork when they apply for a waiver, if those things even exist. That's the other thing too. Like, what's gonna happen, Chris? Like they could all transfer for free too. So this whole thing about they can leave, they can't leave, that's kind of a working theory that might not even apply right now either.
I'm done with basketball for right now. Is that okay?
All right, good. Me too.
Yeah. By the way, that question that I finally found it on our list here was from JWeb0813. He just asked, how many players in the current team do you think will be on next year's team? Football. Before we get to WVU, we're recording this Monday morning. This evening, we're posting it right after. This evening, national championship game. WV Blessed wants to know, real quick, who is winning the college football playoff and why? You got 30 seconds.
Probably Michigan, because they have the best of the units. Their offense is not probably more explosive than Washington's, but their defense is better. They have the better, where I think it matters, offensive line is probably Washington. Defensive line is probably Michigan. And I think Michigan's more accustomed to this as far as coaching and just the, I would imagine what's chaotic about coming into this game right now, because they've been here before and they've had a nutty season. So I think that they will be less shocked by this than Washington, which has flown back and forth from Washington a bunch lately and is new to this.
I'm with you. I will be rooting for Pac-12 powerhouse Washington, but fear that Michigan's defense is just too much to overcome. The way the clinic they put on against Alabama was amazing. So I just don't know if they're going to be able to overcome Michigan's defense. Cobb 0012 asks, after the first portal season, where are the biggest weaknesses on this football team, and where should we expect the defections after the spring? I think the second question we can't answer right now, because post-spring defections are decided because of the spring. You know, you go through spring football, see where you are on the depth chart, then you decide to leave or not. So kind of hard to answer that one. But Mike, where are the weaknesses you still see on this team after the additions so far? And as of the moment that we're recording this, the last commitment was, let me check my phone, make sure there's nobody else in the last few minutes. Xavier Bosley, the offensive lineman from Jacksonville State. Nobody else yet.
There's no obvious answer, right?
I don't think so. I love the talent they've added at corner, but that position is so thin that I'm going to keep adding, keep going, add another one and another. There are no amount of transfers they can add at corner that would make me say, okay, you're good. And that's a numbers thing, not really a talent thing, because I like the talent they've added.
Yeah. Like tight end, I'm like, oh, they want to get that multi-year tight end. And like, what are we talking about here as far as like making a splash at tight ends? You got a guy who's probably as good as you're going to get out of the portal in Taylor. So why even mess around with that as an idea? The special teams, okay. Like I'm looking underneath the rug right now, trying to figure out what we're missing. And then like dynamics, like speed. I don't know how fast these guys are on defense that they added yet, so I can't tell you that that's a shortcoming, but that was a concern, especially in the secondary. Can they run with and chase guys? Maybe that's it, but let me see what these corners and additions do. Linebacker, I'd feel better with more people, probably. That might be my answer, because like similar to you, they might have more people, but I would just feel better with more, especially they're going to this like 3-4, which again, it might just be two linebackers. Still, you'd like to have some depth there, and maybe they're getting there, but and I know Carrico is a good prospect, but just hasn't been a college player yet. So let's see what happens. I'm with you. Just the broad secondary, because it does sound like this is an interesting thing that Brown said. Let's get them on campus to figure out where they go first. That is about as non-specific for something as you'll hear a coach say, who's as specific about everything that Brown is, because he is. He's detailed, disciplined in his approach on stuff. But to just say, let's get defensive backs here and figure out, you know, start them in one position, can they work in the other? Corner and safety are a different world, and to be that open to it makes me think that they are looking for people that can just play defensive backfield and to figure it out, which makes me think that they probably should continue to add to that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Linebacker, that's a good point. Just, yeah, you like what you got there, but they're still young. They're still injured. I mean, like two of the guys you're relying on are coming back from devastating injuries. That's always a thing to be concerned about. And yeah, I mean, cornerback, they got, let's be blunt here, they got incredibly lucky, like injury luck there. I mean, they rode two guys the entire season, mm-hmm. 98% of the snaps for two guys the entire year with no injuries. That's not going to happen again. So they need bodies back there. Where was this? The question I was just about to ask you. We got to finish on something here. That multiple people asked. We always try to get to the ones where multiple people ask the same question. So NC Wayward Ear and Mid Blues asked both about Dante Wright's replacement at safeties coach for WVU. Any thoughts?
Really interesting, Chris, what they're going to do, because last year they had a hard time getting established coaches to leave. And sometimes the coaches were really picky and pushy about what they wanted because they knew they were walking into a situation that wasn't guaranteed for the future. So they asked a lot because they were promised nothing. What I mean by that is like, hey, I'll come here. It might only be a year, but it's going to be a year that's lucrative for me. which means I want a title or I want a role or I want money. And West Virginia could not convince a lot of people to do that, or maybe the targets that they wanted. And that's how you end up with like two coaches who had a combined 1 year of FCS, or excuse me, Division I experience, and that was FCS. That shouldn't happen this year, right? Like they are in a better position. They're dealing from a position of strength. I'm just curious about what they do now. Can they get a guy who's a sitting coach? Is it from the coaching tree? Is it absolutely a safeties coach? Are we sure about that?
Good one. I was ready to go there too. Go ahead. Keep going.
Jadon Brown works with corners, but he's a secondary coach. If you find a guy that can recruit, that gets along with the staff, and who can coach cornerbacks, I think you would say the cornerback has not been a strength on the field. And maybe instead of a safeties coach, you hire a corners coach and you get that going. Fresh start, new players, old players, young players, get a new coach in there that can invigorate this. I don't have specific names on this one as of yet. I've heard ideas. Where that goes, I don't know. But I'm really curious here. Like, I think they should aim a little bit. They're not going to pull people off the sideline of tonight's game. I know that. But they also shouldn't be getting somebody who was like the assistant secondary coach for the Broncos either. Somebody who should have some college experience, who can recruit, who knows about the players, who knows about high schools. I think they're in a position where they could be able to do that now. And can they make it exciting and enticing enough, which, again, is a title? Is it money? Is it corners as opposed to safeties? This is an adventure that they're on right now that I'm actually kind of intrigued by, like a rather ordinary transaction. But I feel like it can go in a bunch of different directions that will have something to say about what Brown wants to do and who he wants involved.
With you that they're likely going to search big, go big, start big, and come back down if necessary. I want to throw out the what is likely going to be considered the non-sexy decision, something along the lines of Bilal Marshall, somebody that is a current graduate assistant, and it ties in multiple things you're talking about here. His name is Javon Coughlin. They call him J-Cod. He is part of the defensive, the secondary. He's a graduate assistant. He has been, if you're like, hey, that name sounds familiar, you likely read some of our recruiting stories because he is very involved, as much as one can be as a GA, with recruiting. He connects with a lot of players. If you go and talk to some of the transfers that committed, if you talk to some of the high schoolers that committed in the secondary, they mention him by name a lot. They spend time with him when they come up on campus. He was a cornerback. He played cornerback in college. He played cornerback like an indoor football league. Just like you mentioned here, Jadon Brown, at his previous stops, defensive backs coach, safeties coach at Louisville before he came to West Virginia. And he's been the quote secondaries coach or defensive backs coach at West Virginia as well. Maybe he moves to safety, starts coaching some of his old guys again. Coughlin takes over cornerback. He brings in some more recruiting prowess, connection with the guys, great relationship with the staff. So again, that's not where they're going to start. At least I don't believe, but that could be something along the lines. He's got all the same kind of connections and traits that Bilal Marshall did when we were like, hey, Bilal Marshall coming back is a real possibility. And that's why I think Rodlin could be a real possibility for that too. Let's see, Mike, I think that covers all of the questions for now, because we're starting to run out of time. But again, like you mentioned, we are going to come in with a written form, answering a bunch of the rest of the questions. We are also going to take a couple of these because, again, break. Hey, maybe giving you guys a break, let you reset, because we got some good questions in here, and we're going to do a couple 3-minute videos for that. Hopefully Wednesday and Friday, get back on our usual schedule, maybe even a full story on one or two of these. Some again, really good questions in here. All of them will get answered over the course of the next few days.
I just sent you a very important DM as update the situation. I want to get your live reaction. Don't share the details, but I want to get your live reaction to this, because I'm now not qualified to talk about this.
Oh, God. Sent a photo. Oh, Mike.
What did I do?
I don't know. Now I'm going to check myself. Oh, I'm still good.
Oh, come on. I'll just say this. I've been blocked by someone. I have no idea how I got blocked by somebody. I was trying to reference something, and I don't know how to deal with this. I frankly don't care, but it's kind of funny that this just came across my desktop there. I'm going to go repair my hurt feelings and have plenty more on the site coming up. Basketball interviews today, game tomorrow, a lot of football offseason yet to cover. Until then, I am Mike Casazza.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
We'll talk to you then.